And every minute of every day, your 17 trillion cells are dying and reproducing and thriving again in order to serve your health. And the question is, are you contributing to their healthy reproduction or are you participating in cellular death? So we can alter this and enhance our cellular reproduction experience by eating properly. And that's what we're talking about today. Every Monday, this is the Eating for Meaning program on the Double Diamond Wellness Hour. And welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Millie. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm a certified nutrition specialist. And I have my master's in public health, which basically means that I love to broadcast and talk about health all day long and how we can influence our own level of health, whether we are in the prevention stage, so if we are healthy, or if we've been already diagnosed with chronic illness, then how we can reverse that story. This program, Eating for Meaning, is based on four principles. It's based on the principle that nutrition is the most important aspect of eating. It serves a purpose to reconstitute our cellular material that makes up all of our organs and our organ systems and determines how we live, breathe, and function on a daily basis. Adventure is also extremely important, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, mostly. We're going to talk about adventure in eating. So how to incorporate new and maybe even more challenging foods into our diet. The more we vary our diet, the more nutrients we are including into our palate, into our diet program, and the more opportunity we have to expand our overall wellness by increasing our level and our variety of phytonutrients, of minerals, of antioxidants, of different types of fats, different types of protein, and different types of carbohydrates. And it also keeps it really interesting. So we're going to talk today about how you include new foods that you've been wondering about, how to include different exotic or ethnic or international cuisines into your diet. I'll give you some tips if you like some of the more common or American standard fares where you might like to try to sample next based on palate similarities. And the third principle of Eating for Meaning is mindfulness. And so this involves the process of paying attention, tuning in to your own mental and physical reactions that food has on you. So digestion starts in the nose. It starts by smelling the food, and everything from that smelling to the time where we put the food into our mouth, swallow it, and even after during the digestive process, this all affects and it becomes part of our relationship to food. And so paying attention to that is extremely important. Not only the effect on our body, but our response to food and our reliance on certain standard flavors and how we expand our palate based on that. And that does fit into adventure as well. And lastly, epigenetics. Epigenetics is the fourth principle of Eating for Meaning. And epigenetics involves the theory that we can change our genetic expression, that just because you're born with a gene does not mean that you will succumb to any illness associated with that gene, because you can alter the gene expression. You can turn the gene for that illness on or off based on your lifestyle, the way you think about your own health, how you participate in the world, what your level of fitness activity is, your coping mechanisms for relaxation and stress relief, and also, of course, the nutrients that we're putting in, that you're putting in your body. And every single day, there is new information being contributed to the research, the body of research and literature that exists online in the Cochrane Library Database, on PubMed. If you were to do a search for fish oils and epigenetic expression, or turmeric and epigenetic expression, or resveratrol and epigenetic expression, all of these nutrients that come from foods that we eat have specific roles in preventing and treating heart disease, diabetes, cancers. And so this body of research is expanding on a daily basis, and it is the medicine of the future, I believe. And not only can you change epigenetic response on your own body, but you can also affect generations to come. Reasons that 10-year-olds are getting diabetes is not just because they've developed diabetes themselves, but it's because their parents, their genetic inheritance, actually worked towards it for them. And so diabetes at 10 years old, or heart disease at 10 years old, or high blood pressure at 10 years old means that the parents were really working towards that end goal as well. And so if they're working towards the end goal of disease, then you can reverse that and untrain for chronic disease and start training towards health. And that's what we're talking about in this show. And that's what we always talk about every week. And if you have any questions, you can give me a call at phone number 1-877-480-4120. Again, the phone number to give us a call here in the live studio is 1-877-480-4120. And Eating for Meaning is a program that's offered at the Double Diamond Wellness Center up here at 125 West 72nd Street in Manhattan. And I'm very pleased to say that it will soon be available on the website as well as on my own personal website, milliesays.com, because I've just come out with some products. And so there's some dietary supplements that are involved in the Eating for Meaning program. It's divided just like the principles are divided up into fours. The products are divided up into quarters. The Eating for Meaning program is a year-long nutritional program where you learn to eat again and to reprogram your own relationship and your own response to food. And as you're working on your nutrition, then the supplements are also helping you on your physical level of health. And so the first quarter of supplements addresses your digestion. It heals inflammation in your digestive tract. It restores good bacteria in your intestines. And it gets your digestive tract to the point where it's not allowing foreign proteins into your bloodstream and can really reduce the likelihood of migraines and inflammation in the arteries and food sensitivities or even environmental allergens that you might be experiencing can all be relieved by repairing your gut. If you've heard of the term leaky gut, a leaky gut syndrome, what does this mean? This means that the cells in your intestines have worn away and there are spaces between the cells that shouldn't be there. And those spaces allow the entrance of proteins that the body comes to recognize as harmful, thereby mounting an inflammatory response and causing more damage to the lining of the intestine. So it lets in more and more proteins into the bloodstream that really should have been blocked and filtered out and excreted in stool, in bowel movements. And so the Eating for Meaning Digest supplement helps to heal the lining of the intestine and the stomach for people who have acid reflux, GERD, Barrett's esophagus, ulcers. It helps to alleviate inflammation and burning there as well to restore the structure and the integrity of the lining. And the EFM Biotic, the Eating for Meaning Biotic product, is good bacteria. And so you take that good bacteria prior to going to bed, and it helps to restore any of the good bacteria that has been outcrowded by bad bacteria. So if you've had an intestinal infection, if you've had a parasite, if you've had candida overgrowth, or if you've had H. pylori, or if you've had any foodborne illnesses, salmonella, and then you've also probably been given antibiotics, or if you've been given antibiotics for acne treatment, or if you've been given antibiotics for colds and flus, then good bacteria is also killed off when you've introduced antibiotics. And so we reintroduce good bacteria so that we restore the good flora that protects our immune system from developing autoimmune conditions, and also help to treat it if you've already gone in that direction. And so this is the first quarter. The second quarter that goes along with the adventure portion of Eating for Meaning is the detox phase. So we take you through a 3-month detox, a gentle detox over 3 months where you tonify your liver, your kidney, and your gallbladder. And I offer this as a second component, the second quarter after we improve and strengthen the digestive tract, then we go to detox. Many people want to detox initially, starting off, and that's not a good time to detox, especially if there is illness, because when the body's deficient or depleted or already worn down, already struggling with disease, then detox actually can go further towards a depletion state and create even more deficiencies or even more weakness. And so that's why we heal the gut first, and then we take you through the detox program, where then you've been built up and strengthened, and then we can work on relieving the body of accumulated toxins and hormones and chemical metabolites from drug residues. It could be medications that you're taking right now, or it could be medications that you've taken in the past, but detoxifying the liver, increasing the natural states, physiological mechanisms of phase one and phase two detoxification allows your body to get rid of old food remnants and pharmaceutical metabolites and heavy metals that might be making you sluggish, causing inflammation or making you ill. And then the third quarter is the metabolism component. So once we've detoxed and kind of kick-started our, released all those bad toxins that we've been holding on to for so long, and possibly even been holding on to old stool, many Americans are living with 10 to 15 pounds of old stool in their body, which is contributing to the recirculation of toxins and also contributing to weight problems. So once we've corrected the digestion, then detox some of those old toxins, then we're ready to train the metabolism. We're ready to target the thyroid and the adrenal glands, the organs that make stress hormones, and we're ready to start burning fat. And so this area of eating for meaning, this third quarter, really helps to, no matter if you have to lose weight or you don't, we can actually individually tailor these supplements to you, to what your specific needs are. And so that's the great thing also about the Eating for Meaning program, is that the supplements are customizable for you. And so if you have allergies or sensitivities to some of the common ingredients that are in different dietary supplements, or if I've included in my formula something that you know that you're not able to take, then I can take that product out and I can reformulate it specifically to you. Or if you have, I haven't added any flavors into my product whatsoever. And so, for instance, the Eating for Meaning Digest product tastes like a combination of the herbs that are in there. It's ginger and schisandra and lemon balm. And so it really has a nice savory flavor to it. The probiotics are absolutely unflavored, and so they don't have any sweetness. But if you really want flavor in order to take it, then that's a possibility. So we can individually tailor for you. And then the fourth quarter of Eating for Meaning is goes along parallel with the epigenetics principle. And so we were training your genes. We're using these dietary nutritional supplements that are so often researched right now, resveratrol and turmeric and grapeseed extract, and these nutritional ingredients that help to retrain our genes away from chronic illness. And that's what we've included in the Eating for Meaning supplements in the fourth quarter. So stay tuned for more information about that. And we're going to get into the bulk of the show. We're going to get into our topic today. We're talking about adventure. We're going to talk about food, how to increase nutritional value of your meals based on introducing new and foreign foods into your diet. This is Dr. Millie for Eating for Meaning program on the Double Diamond Hour. Join me back after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique de Kock.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Hassania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
A change will do you good. So that's a good song to break the ice, because today we're talking about how to increase adventure, how to be more adventurous in our eating. And many people walk through the health food aisle, or they walk into the health food store, and they really don't know what they're looking at. They know it's food. They know it might say it's rice, but it doesn't look anything like the rice they're used to. Or maybe it's whole grain pasta and people don't like the texture of it, or they tried it once and don't think it tastes very good or feels very good. And so part of the awareness of eating and changing our diet is to focus on the end goal of health. And it's really important to change mindset away from flavor and the flavor that we rely on in order to it's almost like a trade-off. We have to trade off just relying on food as flavor and comfort rely on it for something else, which is the provision of multifaceted nutrients and combinations of good quality proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. And so this requires some familiarity, because it's not very often that people will just jump into a foreign area of the grocery store and just try the first thing that they see. People want to know what to do with it. And so I thought we'd talk about how to substitute a basic salad, and how to substitute a basic cereal, cold cereal, how to substitute bread and grain products, because these are the staples in American diet that they eat most often. So the most common, and I've mentioned this before on the show, the most commonly eaten vegetables by Americans are the lettuce, the white lettuce, and the head lettuce, and onions, and pickles, and tomatoes, and French fries, which does not really count as a vegetable. It counts as a starch. And so these four vegetables are sandwich toppings. But there are so many other more interesting sandwich toppings out there. We can add sprouts to our sandwiches. We can add beets and carrot slices to our, or grated carrots to our sandwiches. We can add some coleslaw, some cabbage, sauerkraut. Many people really like sauerkraut on their hot dogs, but you can also add sauerkraut to any kind of meat sandwich, or even a tofu-based sandwich. And so we can add all these different vegetables to our sandwiches, and we can also include these into a salad as we change salads. So many people get used to eating romaine lettuce if they like bitter a little bit, or they might use the head lettuce if you're really traditional and still eat the way that you were grown up. And if you've seen the mesclun mix, the mixed salad greens on the shelves, they've been including radicchio, like the red Italian lettuce, and they've been including arugula, which is a more of a spicy or peppery flavored salad. And you can buy arugula by itself, or you can buy it in combination with the baby lettuce, the baby spinach. Baby spinach is something that's becoming really popular. And so if you haven't tried any of these different greens, then I really recommend that you do. And even now I'm starting to see the organic boxes of greens, of salad greens, include herbs. So they might be including certain cresses, certain sprouts. They might be including basil. They might be including different thyme. And so this is a way to also branch out in our idea of what salads are, because herbs, fresh herbs from the garden, so whether they're rosemary and thyme and basil and lemon balm and dill, and all of these are have concentrated nutrition in them. So herbs being so flavor-packed, this means something. This means something to the quality of their nutrition. All of those flavors, that, especially flavors that can be distilled into essential oils that you might know as something that you can that provides a nasal clearing effect. So something like a eucalyptus or something like lavender, you can actually take those and make teas out of them. But when you get the soft leaves, not eucalyptus, but lavender, when you get the young leaves, you can actually include these kinds of greens into salad, and they have nutritional value. They have all the B vitamins that the lettuce greens have, but then they also have extra nutritional benefit in that they have volatile oils or essential oils in them. So they have extra nutritional benefit. They clear your sinuses. They stimulate your blood circulation. And so it's a great idea to incorporate fresh herbs into your salads in addition to just lettuce. Now, baby kale is also becoming something that I'm seeing on a daily basis, or every day I go to the grocery store, I'm seeing baby kale included in these salad mixtures. And as long as you don't have any thyroid issues, then that's a good idea. If you do have thyroid issues, then I don't recommend consuming raw kale or raw broccoli family vegetables, and that they should be cooked instead. There's a juicing system that's becoming really popular. This is another way to get greens into your diet, is by juicing and blending. And lots of people are doing this. And there's one specific, the NutriBullet system is recommending people include kale as in their juice on a daily basis. And I'm concerned about this because so many people have a slow thyroid, hypothyroidism, and are on Synthroid and are on Armour Thyroid. And eating raw broccoli and cabbage family vegetables like kale, like broccoli, like cauliflower, like cabbage, as good as they are for you, as healthy as they are for you, if you have a sluggish thyroid or metabolism, then you really want to consume these cooked, not raw. And juicing them is you tend to drink more of it when you're juicing it. And so I am concerned for people doing this on a daily basis. And so we do want to include variety in the diet, but we also want to be conscious about what the health benefits of the foods are. For people who have hyperthyroid, if your thyroid is too active, then actually consuming raw kale is beneficial. Consuming raw broccoli and raw cauliflower and raw cabbage is beneficial, because it actually brings down the thyroid. It reduces the TSH. Or it increases the TSH, it reduces the thyroid hormones. And so we do want to supplement more vegetables that we're used to into your basic salad. And so often people think that salads have to be raw. Salads don't have to be 100% raw, especially in the colder months as we're getting into, I hate to say it, we're getting into the fall. It's really cooled down around here in New York anyway, wherever you are. I don't know if you've noticed yet, but the days are getting shorter. And as we go into the colder months, we don't want to consume only raw foods in the winter, especially if you're in a cold climate, because eating cold foods in a cold climate creates a lot of dampness. It's very dehydrating. It becomes really difficult to digest those foods, and it becomes harder to regulate our own body temperature. So all this raw food diet is really, I think, better suited to something like a California climate. And if you tend to be in the Northeast or somewhere where they get a good winter, then you want to consider including cooked foods in your salad. And so the idea of a dinner salad is something that's really, you know, it's become really popular over the last couple of decades. And so we know that we can take a bowl full of lettuce. Hopefully it's mixed lettuce, not just one type of lettuce, but a variety of lettuce really offers different flavors and different nutrients. And so when you are preparing your salad, try to make at least two or three different lettuces in there. Include some fresh herbs, and then you can add a protein to that. You can add cooked eggs, boiled eggs. You can add a chicken breast the size of your palm. You can add a steak as a size of your palm. You can add fresh tofu. Now, tofu is something to really be careful of the quality of, but tofu, when it's just made with nigiri, soy, and salt, those should be the only ingredients, and water, if there's water in there, those should be the only ingredients in tofu. There shouldn't be any calcium sulfate or any preservatives in your tofu. But when your tofu is prepared properly, then it can be eaten raw, and it can be eaten like feta cheese. It almost tastes like feta cheese without the salt. And it's actually I find it quite delicious. You can also add cooked greens to your salad. So you can add cooked beans, and you can add rapini or cooked broccoli or boiled beets, boiled and cooled potatoes. You can add cooked carrots. They don't have to be raw carrots. Or you could add cooked tomatoes. Tomatoes don't have to be raw. They can be cooked and they can be warmed. You can also add seeds to your salad. You can really build a salad that has vegetarian source of protein. So you can add sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, walnuts and almonds. And you can make them warm by roasting them lightly in a pan without any oil. You just dry roast them on the top of a skillet until they're a little brown on the outside, but they're still white on the inside. And so when they're white on the inside, then they still contain all the omega-3 fatty acids. They contain the raw oils, which are so beneficial to your brain and your inflammation levels, but they have a little better flavor and they've been warmed, and they really contribute energetically and also to digestion and to the climate that we have that's so cold. Now, lots of people like to put cheese on salad, and that's good as long as it's a serving of cheese, 1 to 3 ounces of cheese. And then, as I mentioned, you can put half cheese and half tofu, or you can put half cheese and half potatoes. And so you can mix it up so you're not really just getting the same food. You want to be mindful of portion size. And it's not about eating less. It's just about eating a variety of more foods so that you're varying up the plate and including as many different foods in your plate as possible. And so it does take a little more work, of course, and it takes a few more ingredients to have this many foods in your home. But there are food companies that are making it easier by, as I mentioned, pre-mixing the salads or by chopping up vegetables beforehand. And so if you don't tend to chop things up, then you can always buy the pre-chopped, although it's so much more expensive to buy the pre-chopped. So if you are willing to do it by yourself, then it saves your pocketbook. You can also, in the winter months, when it becomes difficult to find fresh vegetables, you can also buy sprouts, or you can make your own sprouts. And you can sprout any grain, any bean, any seed, any lentil. You can sprout any of these dried goods, and you can increase the chlorophyll and get yourself fresh vegetables automatically from any of these, what we would typically consider as starch products or vegetarian proteins, just by sprouting them. When we sprout foods, we create a germ, we create life. So we create the natural life-giving force from the germ and from the sunlight that we expose it to. And you can find at the grocery stores, you can find sprouting mixes, or you can buy a mason jar with a sprout topper, which is basically cheesecloth and then a little elastic on top so that the sunlight and the air can get in, but the dust doesn't get in. And you can include sprouts. And in the wintertime, you can grow these. They take about a day or 2 days, depending on what you're sprouting. And you can generate your own green food all year round. In the paper the other day, there was a recipe for a sprouted hummus. And I've been making sprouted hummus for about 20 years. And I'll give you the recipe when we come back, because it's a great way to get a natural protein into your diet from a food that you might have heard of before, but you can make it at home and bring more nutrition and adventure into your diet. This is Dr. Millie for Eating for Meaning program on the Double Diamond Hour. Join me back after the break.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Joanna Croats at The Woman's Playbook on TalkingAlternative.com. Join us every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. We're talking about the rising she economy and about women entrepreneurs and their growth, their triumphs, and the businesses they run, which is different than the way men run businesses. Every Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com. It will help you start, run, and grow your business.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Variety is the spice of life, and spice is the spice of life. And so we don't want to ignore the extremely nutritional properties of spices either. I was talking about fresh herbs before, and the including fresh herbs into your salads and the nutritional benefits of them. They're not just there for flavor. The flavors actually indicate the level of nutrition that are there. Something that has a flavor like that's so pungent and strong really means that there's good antioxidants and polyphenols in there. And also color is determines how much nutrition is in something. Something that's so bright green or dark green, or cinnamon that's so brown, or cayenne pepper that's so red, or cumin, coriander, dill, all these different seeds. Those are seeds just like flax seeds, or just like pumpkin seeds, or just like sunflower seeds. But instead of having the protein and carbohydrate content, they tend to have essential oils. And these essential oils freshen your breath and fix your digestion and are antibacterial and are antiviral. And so seeds, you know, you go to an Indian restaurant and afterwards they have the spoonful of digestives. They have fennel seeds combined with maybe a few licorice candies and some dill, and sometimes there's some salt. And that actually has therapeutic benefit. So it's not just by eating those at the end of a meal, or by including those spices in your meal, it's not just to freshen your breath, but you're also getting the nutritional benefit, a consistent or a daily intake of natural antibiotic, natural antivirals, natural carminative herbs or spices that basically soothe your digestion. And so by eliminating or by not including these, we're robbing ourselves of potential nutrition that we could be having on a daily basis, and the opportunity to improve your own health with food. And so we definitely want to include spices as much as possible and in as many places as possible. And too much fiery pepper, of course, that can be damaging for your digestive tract, especially if you have heartburn. But you can have neutral peppers like mild paprikas or chili powders, and you can have aromatic spices like the cumin or the coriander or the dill. And these seeds can also be sprouted. And just like mustard seeds can be sprouted and broccoli seeds can be sprouted. So we're talking about sprouting in a way to generate fresh vegetables for ourselves in the winter, but also a way to change the carbohydrate and protein structures of the food and make them more digestible. So chickpeas, for instance, we all know chickpeas. Many people know canned beans. We know canned bean salads. We know canned chickpeas. We know canned kidney beans. And we just empty the can into our chili when we're making it. But did you know that you can make beans more nutritious by preparing them yourself? So if you actually buy the packaged beans, which are the lentils in the dry goods section, they're lentils, they're black-eyed peas, they're northern beans. The beans that you would make baked beans with, that you, if you want to make baked beans at home, then you yourself have to soak those beans. You have to soak and soften those beans overnight for 8 or 9 hours. And so in the case of a fresh hummus, a sprouted hummus, you buy the chickpeas that are in the pack. You soak them for eight or nine hours with in a bowl with water enough to cover. And then you add a teaspoon of food grade hydrogen peroxide. And so the food-grade hydrogen peroxide acts as an antifungal. Many cases, especially bulk food products, if you buy bulk food, they have been contaminated with yeasts and molds and some bacteria that can grow when you sprout the food. So you really want to make sure that there's none of that excess contaminants on the beans on the chickpeas when you want to start to sprout them. So you clean them with the hydrogen peroxide in the water, just a capful in enough water to cover the chickpeas. Then you empty it the next morning. Then you rinse them. Then you put them in a mason jar. Now you can buy sprouting kits, or you can just use a mason jar, so a jam jar, one of the large liter ones, or a pickle jar, or whatever you have. And you need the jar, you need an elastic band, and you need a cheesecloth. And you need the chickpeas after they're soaked. And so what happens is that you put those, for the first day, you put the jar of chickpeas that have been soaked overnight into the mason jar with the cheesecloth on top and an elastic band to keep any bacteria or dust from coming in. And then you rinse it 4 times a day for the next 24 hours. And so you keep the chickpeas hydrated. You keep them wet. You don't want them to dry out. You want them to, but they're not sitting in water. You're just rinsing and pouring out the water. And you keep them just on your kitchen shelf or in a cupboard, but they don't need to be near light. So they're kind of not in the dark, but just not in a darkish corner. And then the following day, you continue to rinse them 3 to 4 times a day, but you put them in a lighter area once you see the tail sprout. So you will start to see a little tail come out of the chickpea. It will be a white tail. This will be a sprout, just like when your child brought the bean home from play school and they grew the bean in the little styrofoam cup. You can do this to any seed, any bean, any grain, as long as it's a whole grain and the germ is there dormant in its dried state. You can sprout anything. And by sprouting, you're changing the carbohydrates. So for instance, if there's gluten in the grain, if you want to sprout barley and there's gluten in barley, by sprouting it, the proteins and carbohydrates change and break down into their raw components, their ribonucleic acids, and you eliminate the gluten. So for instance, wheatgrass is a gluten-free product. If we want to juice wheatgrass, if we want to drink wheatgrass, that is from wheat. It's from sprouted wheat that's been allowed to grow up until a few inches. And the wheatgrass doesn't contain any gluten. So for people who have celiac disease or who are just on a gluten-free diet can consume wheatgrass. Whereas the wheat berry, when the wheat was in its grain state, its whole wheat state, the wheat berry state, that is full of gluten. And if you make bread out of that on its own, then you will have a digestive attack if you are sensitive to gluten. Whereas you can drink the wheatgrass juice easily. It's the same thing. For people who get gas and bloating from beans, by sprouting those beans and lentils, because you're changing the carbohydrate and the protein structure of them, you are simplifying the nutritional components in those products, and then you're ending up with a much more nutritious product. And so Ezekiel bread, many people have heard of Ezekiel bread. Ezekiel bread is bread made from sprouted wheat. And so it hasn't grown up as far as the wheatgrass, but it's grown to have a tail, just like your chickpea in this hummus recipe that I'm still in the middle of giving. And so they sprout the grain, the wheat berry grain, they grind it, that, and mill it into a flour, and then they make bread from that. And so that's why Ezekiel bread is safe for people who have celiac disease and safe for people who have gluten sensitivity, even though it was originally made from wheat, which is the same wheat that has the gluten when it's in its dormant state. It's a wheat berry state, but not in its sprouted state. So this is very interesting. This is how we really increase our nutritional value of food and also add variety and adventure into your diet, especially if you're willing to be hands-on at home and start a step back. So instead of buying canned chickpeas and making hummus out of chickpeas that have been cooked, pressure cooked, and then sat in water and salt and whatever chemical preservative they're using to preserve those beans, and you're getting the lining of the can, which is an endocrine disruptor because it's a plastic lining, so it's contributing to your hormones. So instead of having that very healthy bean product in a can, which is a less healthy version, you can actually just soak it at home, soak it for 24 hours and end up with a little bean sprout. And what you'll find once this tail is on there, and you can let it grow for a day, another 24 hours if you like to, in the sunlight to generate chlorophyll, which generates B vitamins. It's plant food. It's green food. It's what plants use to grow and to thrive, and also what gives us our vitamins and why we want to eat greens. You can eat them raw. You don't even have to cook it. So when you're making sprouted hummus, this is not a cooked food. You don't cook the bean once. You just grind it up. So you take your 2 cups of sprouted chickpeas. You add 2 cloves of garlic. You add a juice of half of a lemon. And a little bit of olive oil, and you blend it up. So it could be 1/4 cup of olive oil, or you can use a grapeseed oil or an organic canola oil, and you blend it up in a food processor, and then you have your hummus. If you wanted a little bit more lemony, then you can add extra lemon. If you wanted a little more garlicky, or if you want to roast your garlic, just let it bake in the oven for at a low temperature for an hour or so, and then you've got roasted garlic, and you can add that into your hummus. Or if you want an herb flavored hummus, like a basil hummus or a chicory hummus or a lemongrass hummus, whatever you like to flavor it, or a cayenne hummus, a spicy hummus, then you can add those into the mix as well. You can make a delicious arugula hummus dip by mixing a cup of arugula in there with your hummus when you blend it up. And then that's a delicious bean dip. And you can eat that on flatbreads or gluten-free bread or Ezekiel bread or organic corn tortillas or different options for breads that we will talk about when we come back from after the break. I want to get into how you can build up a basic cereal as well. So we're all on a negative cereal kick these days. Nobody likes cereal grains anymore. But I'm going to talk about how, when we're going through the transition of getting away from cereal and changing how we build up a cereal so we keep some of our favorite cereals in there without going horribly wrong. So this is Dr. Millie. This is the Invite Health. No, this is not the Invite Health. That's my other radio show. This is the Double Diamond Hour, and we're talking eating for meaning. It's Monday morning, and this is a live call-in show. If anybody has any questions, the phone number is 1-877-480-4120. That's 1-877-480-4120. We're talking about adventure in eating today.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Spice Girls. And so we are talking about spicing up your life and using different ingredients that you normally might not be including in your diet, or just using those ingredients differently. When we start eating whole food, a whole food, maybe it's local, or but it's a low process diet, once we start going clean eating, then you will find that your pantry really starts to change, because you'll have a lot of dry goods. So when you eat this way, you do have a lot of dry beans and dry chickpeas, and you have a lot of maybe dried fruits and nuts and seeds, and these things all go into pretty jars on your shelf, and you'll find that you'll be replacing all your boxed items, all your canned items, not all of them, but you'll be replacing many of your boxed and canned items. Microwavable food definitely goes out the window. And we do, in order to eat this way, you do have to be prepared. I counsel people to start thinking about what they're going to eat tomorrow once they start making these kinds of changes, because food does take time to prep. But I gave that hummus recipe, and that hummus recipe, you know, if you look at it from start to finish, it really takes 2 days to make. But you're not doing the work. You're not working at it and watching it for 2 days. You're just rinsing it off. You're keeping it in mind because you're planning for what great food you're going to eat in a couple of days, just by paying attention to the food. And I think that this giving intention and giving holding a spot for a good diet is really important, and it does involve these components, like, you know, spending 15 seconds rinsing off your chickpeas as you're, you know, the day before you're going to make the hummus. And anytime you sprout something, it is perishable. It's definitely perishable. It goes from being a dried good that can stay on your shelf forever to being a fresh vegetable that will wilt once it's in the fridge, or if it's left out in the sun, it will start to rot if you haven't eaten it within 4 or 5 days. And so you only want to make so much that you're able to eat. Once you make the hummus and you mix it up and it's got garlic and lemon and some spices in there and some salt, then it will last for about a week in the fridge. It's just like any other food product that you make. And so we're going to talk about cereals. And so cereals, there's so many options on the shelf now. Instead of having your traditional Kellogg's or Post cereals, which are really getting a bad rap these days. One reason they're getting a bad rap is because they're all made from genetically modified corn and soy and hybrid wheat. And, you know, what is Special K exactly anyway? I don't recognize that grain. Maybe Rice Krispies is puffed rice or puff deep fried rice. I don't know what it is. It's puff dehydrated rice. And so, but it's really hard to tell what these cereals are. So they're getting a bad rap because they raise blood sugar. They don't have a whole lot of nutritional value. They don't have a lot of fiber in it. But if you're still in the process where you can't quite make the shift over to Heritage Oats yet, although Heritage Oats is an excellent substitution for many of the flakes and the crisp cereals that you traditionally like, but it's not made with as much salt. It's made with ancient grains, whole grains that have more fiber. So when we're looking for cereals, for cold cereals, we really want to look for cereals that have high fiber. So if it's Fiber One or if it's Raisin Bran. The problem with Raisin Bran is that the raisins are coated in sugar, powdered sugar, which is also genetically modified. But you can get a natural Raisin Bran, and you can make the change from going from the commercial brands to the organic brands. So that's one thing that you can do. You can also substitute half of your cereal for half other things. So you build up a cereal. So occasionally, I like some Cheerios or the organic version of Cheerios. But instead of just having a bowl, a big bowl of Cheerios and milk, and especially if it's skim milk, which I could eat forever and ever and ever. I mean, you never would get full from eating Cheerios and milk. And so in order to give it more nutritional value, you build it up. You add a spoon of wheat germ to it. You add a spoon of oat bran to it. You add 2 tablespoons of flax seeds or hemp hearts or chia seeds. You add some almonds to it, and you can add some dried fruit, some raisins or some dried cranberries or some dried cherries. And so instead of having a very large bowl, 1 cup or 2 cups of Cheerios by themselves, you could have 1/2 cup of Cheerios, and then you can have 1/2 cup or even a cup of all of these other great things that really build the cereal and make the cereal more nutritious. And then you can add yogurt to it, or you can add organic and unsweetened almond milk, coconut milk, some of the milk substitutes. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and her doctor told her that she could not have any milk. So she did not realize that she couldn't have almond milk, coconut milk, hemp milk, soy milk, and goat milk. And I said, you can have all of these milks because none of them come from cow dairy. So if your doctor's telling you that you can't have any milk, make sure that, you know, they're usually talking about something that comes from the cow because it's got lactose in it. Whereas these vegetarian milks, they just have the word milk in them to let you know what type of food it is. But it's a substitute. It's definitely a vegetarian substitute. And there are substitutes for almost every... If you're baking, there are substitutes for every method of baking. There's some kind of alternative substitutes. If you can't eat eggs, you can soak flax seeds and use the slime from soaked flax seeds instead of egg whites in a baking recipe. If you don't want to include sugar into your food, you want to use stevia instead. Well, 1 teaspoon of stevia is equal to 1 cup of sugar. And so you use 1 cup of applesauce and 1 teaspoon of stevia. You can substitute every recipe that you have. You can substitute it with more healthful things. You can sneak beets into chocolate pudding. You can sneak carrots and greens and beans and okra into meat sauces. You can take your food processor, you can cook vegetables, you can blend them all up, and you can mix them with tomato sauce, and you can sneak them into your children's favorite meat sauce. And so there's always ways to increase nutritional value of foods, and even foods that you don't like yourself. You take your 4-year-old self by the hand, spank yourself on the bum really lightly, no child abuse, and grow up a little bit in terms of what the purpose of eating is, because the purpose of eating is to increase nutritional value and to give yourself better health. It's not just to satisfy your own palate and what your cravings are and what you feel like. I'm not saying don't eat your food cravings, but it's all about moderation. Now, I did want to get to the topic too of Ethiopian food and Western Chinese food and Pakistani food and Vietnamese food and Caribbean food, because these are some of my favorite ethnic cuisines. And so living in New York or any city that you're living in is metropolitan. I was in Washington, D.C. last week, and I had no idea there was a very large Ethiopian population there. And so living here in New York, you think you can get everything, but you actually can't get that much Ethiopian food, which breaks my heart coming from Toronto, where I can get a lot of great Ethiopian food. And so what I found in D.C. was that, oh, voila, there's an Ethiopian neighborhood. And so there were people there in front of me. They had never eaten Ethiopian food before. They ordered a big plate. What you get when you order Ethiopian food is you get a big plate of sourdough bread, and then you get different bean and meat dishes and vegetarian dishes, vegetable dishes on top of the bread, and you use your hands. It's a big plate, and it's communal. Everybody shares from it, and you use your hands to take the bread, the sourdough bread, and dip it into the stews or the curries. And Ethiopian uses a type of chili called Berber spice, and it's kind of like paprika, and so it's a different flavoring. But I would say that if you like Italian food, then you might like Ethiopian food. And so if you're used to when you go out to a restaurant and you go out to the same type of restaurant every time you go out, you like Italian food and you order pasta and you order pizza and this is what you like, well, that's great. But if you want to add more variety to your restaurant experiences, then you can try something different. And I do recommend Ethiopian food because they use a lot of vegetarian beans and lentils. It's really high protein. It's very healthy food. They use a sourdough bread, which is made from teff. Now, sometimes it's made with wheat and teff, so you can usually get a gluten-free variety if you want the traditional one. And it's really delicious. If you like Chinese food, if you like Cantonese food or Sichuan food, I highly recommend Western Chinese food. Western Chinese food is the part of China that borders on Pakistan, and they use a lot of Indian spices. So they use a lot of curry when they make their lamb, and they use a lot of, there's a lot of different kinds of exotic vegetables that are in really, really hot spice. And so you can vary up your palate by trying new things. If you like Indian food, try Pakistani food. It's very similar. They use a lot of vegetables. The great things about all these international cuisines is that they really use a lot of vegetables and a lot of whole foods. They haven't really processed food the way we have here in the West as much. And so you get automatic nutrition just by consuming that food type. Caribbean roti, made out of lentils. The bread's made out of lentils, and then they include vegetables, and you can get goat or you can just get chickpea in there, and I highly recommend that. And so we've run out of time already. There are so many other things that I really wanted to talk about. I hope we can touch on some of them next week. Teff porridge, for instance, instead of cream of wheat. There's so many substitutes to all the grains. If you're trying to get wheat out of your diet, there's so many other gluten-free substitutes that you can get into. Quinoa, of course, being the best. And this has been Dr. Millie. This is the Eating for Meaning program on the Double Diamond Hour, and stay tuned for everybody's favorite astrologist, Monty Taylor's, coming up next after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour
at 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun
and shine the light on all aspects of music
and its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music
and our voices. Join Austin
and Sloan
live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.